Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is Carol McLeod, and my podcast is a weekly podcast hosted by me, the mom of five incredible kids who have grown up and left me the nerve of those children. But so far, they've blessed me with seven wonderful grandchildren. I like to call my grandchildren the seven wonders of my world. You know, the purpose of this podcast, The Joy of Motherhood, is just to encourage moms who are in the trenches of it all. I want to let you know that what you do matters, mom. It matters very, very much. The days of wiping noses and changing diapers and making grilled cheese sandwiches, those days matter. They matter very much. In the midst of mountains of laundry and never-ending dishes, short nights and long days, my hope is that this podcast will give you just a minute or two of some joy in the middle of it all. Well, today's program is going to be a fun one. Sometimes we look at the Bible, sometimes I do interviews, but today's podcast, we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about family traditions. Who can forget the scene in Fiddler on the Roof when the father, Tevye, sings that song, Tradition? Do you remember that song? Tradition, tradition. Who day and night must scramble for a living, feed a wife and children, say his daily prayers? And who has the right, as master of the house, to have the final word at home? The papa, tradition. And then the mom sang, who must know the way to make a proper home, a quiet home, a kosher home? Who must raise the family and run the home so papa's free to read the holy book? The mama, tradition. Well, today on The Joy of Motherhood, we'll be talking about tradition in your family home. So, do you remember any traditions from your childhood years? Oh, I have a bevy of them. I love family traditions. I can tell you what our traditions were in my home growing up, and I can recite hundreds of traditions that we embraced in our home in which I raised five children. Just ask my kids. I am the queen of tradition. So grab a cup of coffee, get out your journal so you can take some notes, write some things down, and then we'll get started talking about family traditions. But first, let me remind you about my new book, which is called Guide Your Mind, Guard Your Heart, Grace Your Tongue. Now, I think that this book is especially good for moms, and you might want to add it to your summer reading list. You know, as mothers, the primary way we parent is through our tongues. And so we have to make sure that our tongues are always discipling, that they're always encouraging, that they're always training and teaching. But our tongues should never tear down our little people who were made in the image of God. You know, but as moms, we have all said things that we wish we hadn't said. But I often have thought about this. Your tongue really isn't your problem, because before your tongues come out of your mouth, it's a thought that you have allowed to brew in the recesses of your mind, or it's an emotion that you've embraced. And so in dealing with our tongues, we first have to deal with our minds and then our hearts. So this book, guide your mind, guard your heart, grace your tongue goes to the very heart of your issues as a woman. So I hope you'll pick up a copy. Guide Your Mind, Guard Your Heart, Grace Your Tongue. You can get it at my website, which is justjoyministries.com. You can get it at barnesandnoble.com, at amazon.com, at Books A Million, really wherever fine books are sold, you can pick up a copy. And if your local bookstore doesn't have it, ask them to order it for you. And then, as always, if you're looking for a speaker at your next women's event, I'd love for you to consider me. You can email me at carol@justjoyministries.com. I'll answer your email personally. Or you can call the Just Joy phone number, which is 855-569-5433. And you can ask my good friend and coworker, Angela Storm, what it would take to have me come speak at your next women's event. And let me just say, Angel is the mother of four. So if you need some advice, you might just want to call that number just to get some mama advice from my friend Angel. Or you can go to my website where there is a place there that you can fill out a form. And the website is justjoyministries.com. Now, I always like to start the podcast with a question sent to me by one of you, my listeners. So if you have a question for me, send it to me. I love hearing from you. I love getting your questions. So send me questions. Anything is fair game. Carol@justjoyministries.com. This question comes from Rebecca in Virginia. And this is what she said. My two-year-old is always running away from me. I also have a newborn baby, and it's hard to chase the two-year-old at the park, in the grocery store, or even in my backyard. What should I do? Do you have some advice for me? Well, first of all, Rebecca, let me assure you that your two-year-old is acting like a normal two-year-old. Yes, that's right. This is typical behavior for a toddler. Now, it's not acceptable behavior, but it is very typical behavior. So these are some of my suggestions for you. First of all, when you're at home and the two-year-old is contained in his tub, in the bathtub, when you're giving him a bath at night, in the crib, in his booster seat, at the kitchen table, or even in his car seat, talk to him about it. He can understand your words. Let him know that he is not allowed to run away from mama. Let him know the next time he does it, what the form of discipline will be, and then follow through on that discipline. But talk to him about it when he's not running away from you. Talk to him about it when he is contained, and explain to him you don't want to lose him. You don't want him to get hurt. He's got to stay where mama tells him to stay. And if he doesn't, then this will happen. No books at bedtime, or a certain toy will be taken away from him, or no dessert on a certain day, and then follow through on the discipline. Now, secondly, keep him buckled into something as much as you can while you're in public. Keep him in the stroller. And if he throws a fit, say, hey, if you don't run away from mama, you can get out. But as long as you're running away, you will stay in your stroller. And then do it. Keep him in the shopping cart at the grocery store. Do not let him out of the shopping cart. Buckle him in. Make him stay there. Bring books for him. Bring a little plastic bag with goldfish in him. But don't let him out of the shopping cart in the grocery store. If you go to a park, find a park with a gated area so you can close the gate and keep him contained. You know, one of my jokes is, I never understood mothers who put their toddlers on leashes until I had one who ran away. And then I wanted to make sure that they were safe. So you better believe I bought one of those leashes. Now, today, the leashes are much more politically acceptable. They're a little bungee cord that goes from your wrist to his wrist, but use it. If you cannot get your child to stay with you, then attach him to your wrist. It's okay. It's good parenting. And then my third thing for you is this: set boundaries and stick to them. When my kids were little, before we arrived at any place, whether it was grandmother's house or the library or the park or church, I would remind them what their boundaries were. You know, at grandma's house, you cannot go in the dining room. You can be in the family room and in the kitchen and on the back deck. But those are the only places you can go. Now tell mom, where are you allowed to go at grandma's house? What are your boundaries? And I'd make them repeat the family room, the kitchen, the back deck. Are you allowed to go in the dining room? No, I'm not. Go through these, this expected behavior, go through their boundaries at the park. At the park, you can go from the slide to the swing set to where mama's sitting on the bench. Can you go to the pond? No, you cannot. These are your boundaries. We'd repeat it all the way to the park. I'd sit them down on the park bench, have them repeat their boundaries again. And the first time they went outside the boundaries, we went in the car and back home again. So give them specific boundaries, have them repeat those boundaries to you, and follow through. Now, Rebecca, I hope that helps you. And if not, feel free to email me again at carol@justjoyministries.com. Well, now let's begin the meat of the podcast. We're going to be talking about tradition today on The Joy of Motherhood. Traditions are important in your family life. I think that traditions establish the rhythm and the loving rituals of a family. I remember when I was raising my children that I heard Dr. James Dobson say one day on his radio show, Focus on the Family, that there are three things in building a home that will last past the 18 years that your children live with you. And the three things were faith, unconditional love, and traditions. Isn't that interesting that Dr. Dobson, sort of the guru of my generation of what it takes to build a healthy family, put traditions in the top three things of what it takes to build a healthy home life? You know, there are something about family traditions that makes a child feel safe, that make a child feel like he or she belongs here at this home. You know, kids, I can guarantee you this. I know as the mother of five, no matter what their ages are, from newborn to when they're in their 30s, they love family traditions. They love family rituals. It fosters a sense of belonging and security. It gives them a sense of identity. I remember that from the day we brought our children home from the hospital, before we put them to bed at night, we held them. We loved them until they didn't want us to hold them anymore. And then we'd rub their back or scratch their back or kiss their forehead or do something that was physical touch related at bedtime. And not only did we touch them and hold them and rock them, but we sang to them. We sang many different songs. Some of them are made up that are just unique to our very family. Or we'd sing them hymns of faith. We'd sing patriotic songs around the 4th of July. We'd sing Thanksgiving songs around Thanksgiving. We'd sing Christmas songs. We'd sing love songs around Valentine's Day. And we'd always read a book at night. And that was our family ritual. They'd be cuddled. We'd sing them a song. We'd read them a book. And then we'd pray for them. And if we forgot one of those things, you better believe that we heard about it. Mama, you didn't scratch my back tonight. Mama, you forgot to pray for me tonight. Children love traditions. It fosters a sense of belonging and security. It gives them an identity. This is who I am. This is the family that I belong to, and this is what we do. Children also flourish on routine. So rituals or traditions add to that needed sense of stability. Now, in the Western world, many of our traditions are built around a holiday. Isn't that true? Around Christmas or Thanksgiving or the 4th of July or even March Madness. And you're going to hear more about that in a minute because that was one of our favorite traditions. But because I, the mom, love traditions so much, I didn't wait for a holiday to institute a family ritual or tradition. We did them on ordinary days. Traditions were part, they were a stable part of our family culture, and we celebrated them often. Now, in a minute, I'm going to share with you some ideas for specific family traditions. But for now, let me give you a guideline to go by as you ponder what will work for my family, because my family's different than your family, Carol. I'm not sure what you did specifically will work for mine. That's fine. Here are some guidelines. Here's an outline to go by. So get out your journal, get out a pencil or your smartphone so you can write these things down. First of all, keep it simple, okay? Don't make family traditions so hard or so complicated that you dread pulling it together. If you keep it simple, it will really happen. So number one is keep it simple. Number two, you're going to like this one, keep it inexpensive. Don't let traditions add to your financial anxiety, but keep your traditions inexpensive, cheap, almost cost-free as much as possible. The next thing is do it regularly. By definition, a ritual is done often. Monthly or even weekly is a good goal for simple and inexpensive family traditions. And as I talk to you about the specific things that our family did in just a minute, you'll hear some of those ideas. Okay, make it fun for everyone. Include the entire family in it. If you're painting fingernails with the girls and the boys don't want to participate, then have dad sit down with the boys and do baseball cards at the same thing. So while the girls are getting their fingernails painted by mama, then the boys are doing baseball cards with daddy, or switch it up. Let daddy paint the girls' fingernails while mom talks about home run hitters. That can be a family tradition that you do on Saturday mornings. So make it fun for everyone. And then here you have a choice. Either make it relaxing or make it active. Let me explain what I mean. This is number five. Make it relaxing or make it active. Relaxing would be a movie night with popcorn. Active would be play baseball in the front yard followed by popsicles. Do you see what I mean? Make it active or relaxing. If you've done a lot of activities lately, if you've been so busy, then do something relaxing. Or if you've just been vegging lately, if there's just been too much downtime, then make a family obstacle course in the front yard and do that. And then number six, no media allowed. That's right. During your family tradition, whether it's a movie night, a baseball game in the front yard, painting fingernails, looking at baseball cards, no media is allowed. Have a basket on the kitchen counter and everybody has to put their phone away. Computers are shut down during this time of family tradition. Okay, let me review the six guidelines for you to go by. Keep it simple. Keep it inexpensive, do it regularly, make it fun for everyone, nobody should be left out. Number five, make it relaxing or make it active. And then number six, no media is allowed. Got it? No media is allowed. All right, now let me get specific and share with you some of the McLeod family traditions that we have enjoyed over the years. And boy, do I miss some of these. I'd do anything to do some of them again. One thing that we did when, especially our two older boys were young, preschool and then school age, is we would have a book party every Friday night. And this went on as our kids got older as well. Every Friday night we were home, we had a book party. And on Friday morning, I would put the laundry basket in the middle of the family room floor. And throughout the day, I wanted the kids to bring the books and put them in that basket that they wanted us to read out loud to them that night. So throughout the day, they would fill it with their favorite books. And on Friday night, we'd pop popcorn or make ice cream sundaes, and we would just read out loud all evening long. For hours, my husband would read, I would read, the older kids would read out loud, but it became a very favorite family tradition to have a book party on a Friday night. Okay, now moms, you're going to love this family tradition. We were famous for clothes folding parties. That's right. Even the neighborhood kids would want to come to our clothes folding parties. Everybody would wash their hands so they had clean hands, and they'd come into my bedroom where there was a mountain of laundry. With seven of us in one home, you can imagine just the socks, the towels, the underwear, the outfits. It was ridiculous. And so I would do the laundry, put all the clean laundry on my bed, and I would put on an Adventures in Odyssey. Because have you discovered that three-year-olds like Adventures in Odyssey as much as 16-year-olds did? And so we would put on Adventures in Odyssey and just listen while we folded clothes. And before you knew it, the clothes were folded and no one had complained over that chore. So a clothes folding party. My husband was a pastor, so he worked so hard all week long. And of course, on Sunday mornings and many Sunday evenings, he had to work. Saturdays, he was preparing for a sermon. And so because we homeschooled many of the years, Monday was Daddy Day in our home. And on Monday, every Monday, everybody got a piece of Daddy. He would take somebody out to breakfast, usually on Monday mornings, one of the five kids, and we'd rotate it. He would have a tea party with the little girls. He would maybe take a toddler for a walk. He would play ball in the yard with the boys. And often that day, he'd give me some time off from homeschool, and he would school the children that day. So Mondays was Daddy Day. So have Daddy Days in your life. Incorporate, maybe it'll be a Daddy evening for you or a Daddy afternoon, but make sure that Daddy is involved in your children's lives. Okay, this is a fun one, and we still do it to this day. My oldest child is now 37 years old, and I still do it with all five of the kids. This was a tradition that I started actually when I was in college. I love Christmas music. I feel like it's just too good. It's just too powerful. It's just too joyful to only listen to for 30 days of the calendar year. From Thanksgiving Day to Christmas Day, that didn't cut it for me. I wanted to listen longer. And so when I was in college, I decreed that October 1st was the first official day of Christmas music season. And so every October 1st, we'd buy mint chocolate chip ice cream. We'd get out a few Christmas decorations, not a lot, just a couple. Craig would always bring me a Yankee candle that smelled like Christmas, and we'd light it. And that was the first day of listening to Christmas music. October 1st, the first official day of Christmas music. And now what I do is every October 1st, I call my kids early in the morning, and I play for them the McLeod family theme song, which is I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's a tradition that has stood firm throughout the years, and we all love it, and now the grandchildren even love it. Okay, another family tradition that we had around the Christmas season is on Christmas Eve, when we came home from church that night or that afternoon, everybody would get to open one present on Christmas Eve. And you know what it was. It was always their Christmas pajamas that they would wear that night. But that was always a fun tradition that on Christmas Eve, they would open one present. And also on Christmas Eve, what we would do, they'd open the present, they'd put their Christmas pajamas on, and then we would read the Christmas story. We passed around the Bible, open to Luke chapter 2, and we'd all read a verse until we were through the Christmas story. And when the little ones were too young to read, I would partner them with an older sibling who would help them say some of the words. And now that there are so many of us, we still do it when we're all together every other Christmas, and the little ones still read out loud. It's just a precious time for us as a family. So that's our Christmas Eve tradition. Okay, now, we also have some fun family traditions that have to do with New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, we would gather. I'd always make special hors d'oeuvres rather than a meal. We'd do hors d'oeuvre-y type things on Christmas Eve. And we all had to say what was our favorite memory of the year that had just gone by. And I actually had a notebook that I wrote all of these things in. I'd pack it away every year with our Christmas decorations so that I would know where it was and I could record these memories through the years. So everybody would say what their favorite thing was of the year. Maybe it was getting an American Girl doll or hitting a home run or going to Vermont for the 4th of July. Getting an A in biology, whatever it was, and we'd write down what their favorite event or memory was of the year. And then everybody would have to say what their goal was for the next year. They'd have to share with us a goal that they had. Maybe it was to be potty trained or to make it through a hard course. Maybe it was to score a certain number of points in a ball game. Everybody laughed because for years, Mama's goal was to write a book. And that is in our family journal for years and years and years. And I finally wrote my first book in 2005. Took me a long time to do it, but I did it. So in our journal, we have recorded next to each person's name, their favorite memory of that year, and then a goal for the coming year. And also, Craig and I would pray through the month of December for the Lord to give us a Bible verse for each child for the coming year. And so we'd give the children their Bible verse for the year at that New Year's Eve celebration. And then we'd have a family prayer time where we prayed for each child for the coming year. So that was our New Year's Eve traditions. Oh, during the summer, every family has to have a sidewalk chalk drawing contest. So you go to the dollar store. You refresh your supply of sidewalk chalk, get a couple of those little containers, and the children spend all afternoon drawing in their little area within their boundaries their creation for the year. And grandparents come over that evening, and they're the judges of the contest. And of course, then you serve everyone popsicles. One thing that we used to do for a family tradition is the day after Thanksgiving, we would all choose names, all seven of us would choose names from somebody in the family, and you would be their secret angel from Thanksgiving to Christmas, because I didn't want Christmas to be just about materialism. I didn't want it to be just about the lists of stuff that they wanted, but I wanted to learn them to learn how to give of themselves and their time. And so they drew somebody's name, and all that month they would have to serve that person. You know, they might lay a piece of candy on their pillow at night, or write them a sweet note, or do a chore that day, and of course, by the time Christmas Eve came, everybody had figured out who was serving whom, but it was still just a fun part of the month of December for us. And then the person whose name you had chosen, that was the sibling you bought a gift for, and you'd give it to them on Christmas Eve. And it was always just a special part of Christmas that we were teaching our children how to love and to serve. Another thing that we did in our family that was indeed a tradition, it was a ritual, and this might help some of you moms who are navigating how much screen time do I give my children between the computer and the iPad and the iPhone and the TV. How much time do I give my children? Well, my children had to buy their screen time. And the way they bought it was really two ways. By reading, so if they read a half hour, they got 15 minutes of screen time. Or if they practiced a musical instrument for a half hour, they would get 15 minutes of screen time. So they were reading double or practicing double for the amount of screen time that they would earn as a result of practicing or reading. But another way, like if I saw them do something particularly kind for a grandparent or a neighbor or a sibling, I'd say, boy, that was so kind. I'm going to add 10 minutes to your screen time. That was really kind, and I appreciate that. So I try to bless them for obedience or for kindness. Another thing that we did that was so fun around the family dinner tables, we played the question game. And this is a game I am famous for to this day, is asking questions. You know, the little people, I'd say, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? What's your favorite book? What's your favorite show? Who's your favorite character? And to the older kids, I'd say, if you could be at any Bible event, what Bible event would you be at? If you could meet any person in history, who would you meet and why? If you had $1,000, what would you spend it on? If you could travel anywhere and price was not an option, where would you go? But we kept the conversation lively and riveting at the kitchen table. And often I would hand the baton of question asking to one of the children, and they loved it. And the questions that they came up with were fabulous. So the question game at the dinner table was one of our favorite traditions. And then you've heard me talk about March Madness. Yes, my friend, we are a college basketball loving family. We eat, live, and breathe ACC basketball. And so what we would do during March Madness was, first of all, we'd put one of those big brackets up on the refrigerator and fill it out as the games were won and lost. But also we bought a notebook that one of the older siblings would fill out with all the games in it. Everybody would guess all the games, from the three-year-old up to Craig and I. Everybody in the family, whether they were interested in it or not, they had to guess every single game. And the winner of March Madness, of McLeod March Madness, could choose a restaurant that we would all go out to eat at when March Madness was over. And it was so funny because I remember one year our oldest son, who now is a high school basketball coach and he knew every player and every team and every strategy and every defense. And so his guesses were brilliant about who was going to have the upsets and who wasn't. The year that Joni was just 5 years old, she won the McLeod family bracket. He was 19 and she was 5 and she won, and she chose based on her favorite colors. She chose the team based on if she liked their colors or not. So that story's just become legend in the McLeod family. And then on a child's birthday, they get to choose their menu of choice that night for dinner. I remember one year my son Jordan chose corn on the cob, French fries, spaghetti, and sloppy joes for his dinner for his birthday. And we ate it because it was his birthday and was what he wanted. So the birthday dinner gets to choose the menu. We tell the story at the dinner table of the day they were born and all the events that happened that day and how excited we were and why they were named that particular name. We go around the table at the birthday child's dinner, and everybody gives them a word. It's called a word gift. And so everybody has to say something positive about the birthday child. You're a good reader, or you tell the truth, or whatever. You make your bed so well. So they were getting positive affirmation on their birthday. And then, of course, we'd gather around and pray for the birthday child. So as I told you, before my kids grew up and left me, the nerve of those kids, and all I was left was with these two wonderful teenage daughters. My boys had all grown up and gone off to college. And so when my girls were teenagers, on Monday nights, it was their night to cook. They would come up with recipes. They would make the grocery list. I'd take them to the grocery store, give them a budget. They'd go in and buy what they needed. They'd come home and make it and present it in a beautiful way. And then they'd clean the kitchen afterwards. But that was a wonderful tradition that we had when the girls were teenagers. So hasn't this been fun talking about tradition? I hope that you'll cultivate family traditions in your home. It gives your children a sense of belonging. It lets them know this is who we are. This is what we do. This defines us as a family. And you know what? I'd love to hear what your family traditions are. Shoot me an email at carol@justjoyministries.com and give me some ideas. Maybe we'll talk about this again someday. And I'd also, as a reminder, love to hear your questions about motherhood. It says in Titus chapter 2 that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be keepers of the home. And that doesn't just mean housekeeper. It means to guard their homes. It means to defend their homes. So I hope that today's podcast has been helpful to you. I hope it's brought some joy your way, given you reason to get up another morning and just be a great mom to the kids that God has given to you. And now let's pray. Lord, I thank you for every mom who's listening today. Father, I pray that today will be a good day, because you are Lord of her heart and because you are enough to guide her and to give her strength on this motherhood journey. Lord, thank you for the truth that's in the Bible, and thank you for the fellowship that we can share even across the airwaves. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I'll see you next time on The Joy of Motherhood. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening to my story. We're going to have a blast as we discover the joy of motherhood together. And as always, just let me remind you, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at carol@justjoyministries.com.